There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
This is CBS Eye on the World, the New World Report. Professor Evan Ellis is here. I'm John Batchelor. To Colombia. The headlines there are mixed, but not positive, to do with a man named Gustavo Petro, the head of his own party, but most importantly, the president of the country, who's been derided by his own legislature, has no popularity to see in any poll anywhere, and yet remains very much in control of the central government and decision-making on the basis of the gangs, the narco-terrorist gangs that are said to have been revived under his presidency. I have reports of various violence going on across the country. No one report seems worse than any other. However, the last time we talked about Gustavo Petro, he was in retreat from the legislature, speaking vulgarly toward them and leaving the room. Since then, there have been repeated violence I see in the headlines. Does this all connect to his unpopularity? Is it that he lost the will of the people and so the gangs are back and there's no pushing back? How do you put these things together?
Well, it's a great question, John. And certainly one of the gifts that Gustavo Petro long has had is a bit of a silver tongue. He is a very eloquent speaker, and especially to the new generations who have not remembered just how bad things were in Colombia in the 1990s, et cetera, before Álvaro Uribe. He tells a compelling story. However, since his presidency, he has had a series of different disasters in terms of the paralysis of his left-wing legislative proposals, his cabinet affairs, allegations of his own personal difficulties with alcohol abuse and drug use, and a number of other different things. But one of the core things that you mentioned also, that in this past really a week and in recent weeks that's coming to be more and more emphasized, is that his concept of total peace is anything but, and violence is really spiraling out of control, as with corruption and drug production. Things really started, in all fairness, previously under a flawed 2016 peace agreement with the largest rebel group, the Revolutionary Armed Forces of Colombia, or the FARC, which was supposed to essentially demobilize them and lead to a peace. However, many of those who were formally demobilized went into the hands of other groups, such as the ELN. The amount of drug production in the country exploded. But after also a very rough patch with the economy and social unrest during the COVID period, when Gustavo Petro was elected, he really tried to double down on this concept of pursuing peace, trying to pursue peace with all of the groups all at once, what he called total peace. So he was going to negotiate with what had now become two different factions of the FARC, with the ELN, which has also morphed into a very large organization, with some of the more kind of traditional right-wing criminal organizations, such as the Urbeños, even urban gangs. And that just hasn't worked. He's signed partial peace deals that have, in the end of the day, only allowed those groups to consolidate their power and consolidate their earnings and become stronger, and have handicapped in many ways the armed forces' capability to deal with them, even at a time where the revenues from these groups from illegal mining and narco trafficking has exploded. And so in the most recent week, just a couple things, really just the latest in Colombia unraveling happened. There was two very serious incidents. There was a major attack against a military aviation school near Cali, Colombia, in which at least 18 people were killed and maybe another 40 injured, again, exposing the vulnerability and the ability of different groups, including, it's believed, one of the FARC factions under Ivan Mordisco to operate there. There was also a helicopter that was en route to an anti-drug operation, a cocoa eradication operation, that was actually downed, killing 12 police. In another another part of Colombia, that same part of the FARC under Iván Mordisco that I mentioned before, was able to have enough of a force to basically surround and capture and basically kidnap 34 different Colombian soldiers, really reflecting how the balance of forces have turned. It really takes us back to a time under a previous president in the 1990s, Ernesto Samper, when the Colombian government was seen as so weakened and the forces of the guerrillas so powerful that people in the United States were worried about a collapse of the Colombian government. And so these events of violence really have reflected how the total peace of Gustavo Petro has not been working out, and the really frustration of many Colombians that the country is going, after many years of hope that really had started in the early 2000s under Álvaro Uribe, that the country now appears to be unraveling. And that frustration is very much on the minds of Colombians as they think about the elections, which will be in this coming spring of 2026, also in Colombia.
Is there a link between the disorder in Venezuela and the disorder in Colombia? Are they related in some fashion, or are these separate catastrophes?
There is certainly a synergy, John. For many, many years, the Colombian rebel groups, especially the FARC and also the ELN and others, had actually taken refuge oftentimes with previous Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez and later Maduro, basically welcoming them in. But that also that border region between Colombia and Venezuela, which is long been, you know, Colombians and Venezuelans have long gone back and forth. But that border region has also become a hotbed for criminal activity. The Venezuelans, desperate Venezuelans coming out of Venezuela, but also people trying to smuggle things into Venezuela. And again, the criminal groups going back and forth, the substantial money that comes from illegal mining, especially in the Orinoco Belt in Venezuela, by the ELN, basically part of that being channeled back into Colombia. And to make matters worse, actually, Gustavo Petro had embraced a reopening of the border and a facilitation of stronger economic relations. And so both the interplay of criminal groups and guerrilla groups between Colombia and Venezuela, but also the process of the criminal ties that have fed across the regions. And also in recent years, a lot of the cocaine produced in Colombia, especially that going to Europe, has actually gone through Venezuela. And then Venezuela itself has begun to become not only a transit country for that cocaine, but also with laboratories and other. So there is an aspect of a loose collaboration, a criminal complex in which the criminal activities farther sustain bad actors and weaken the institutionality, especially of Colombia, really taking both countries in an even worse direction.
Narco-terrorism is also a major part of the conflict between the Trump administration and Mexico, Sheinbaum government in Mexico City. It turns on this story that I've read. The previous president, AMLO, founder or participant in the Morena Party that now dominates almost all levels of justice in Mexico, had a slogan saying, "Hugs, not bullets." In other words, we're not going to throw the military up against cartels and have shootouts. However, since then, there have been loose allegations that the Morena government was too friendly or extremely involved with the cartels, the drug lords. Now there's an event that the professor tells me could be significant. A man named Zambada, who inherited a very large cartel once the man infamous El Chapo no longer led it. Zambada is in the U.S., was permitted to be extradited by the Sheinbaum government, I believe. The professor will help me with this chronology. And he's in court. Question is he cooperating in some fashion? Does what he knows connect to the allegation that the AMLO government was too friendly to the narco-terrorists? Is this all one big package of the way to deal with Mexico and the Trump administration? Those are big questions, Professor. You've got a couple of minutes just to start.
Well, it's a great point, John, that the guilty plea in the public statement of one of the major cartel figures of the Sinaloa cartel, El Mayo Zambada, this week, in which he publicly apologized for the damage that he'd done, admitted to bribing many Mexican officials and returned literally, he said, $15 billion in profits, connects into the broader situation. And clearly, the Trump administration and others before have been very critical of concerns of the level of penetration by the cartels. And it really goes back a number of different years. And if you look at the story of the cartels, that corruption was even seen prior to the Felipe Calderon administration. Calderon's own security head was actually found guilty of collaboration with the cartels. And of course, that corruption continued. To this day, there was a concern under the previous Mexican president, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, or AMLO, as you pointed out, that his hugs, not bullets approach was really, at best, allowing the cartels to strengthen their operations and at worst, maybe a open collaboration. AMLO himself visited the home of the mother of El Chapo several times in a place called Barrio Guato that raised a lot of eyebrows. But in general, across the Mexican states, it was generally almost a given that local police forces, in some cases state police forces, and senior politicians in many of the Mexican states, as well as at the national level, were corrupted or implicated in working with the cartels.
We have 30 seconds, Professor, 30 seconds.
So the interesting thing about the confession of El Mayo Zambada, who was one of the key lieutenants of El Chapo Guzman before he was actually betrayed by one of the other figures, one of Chapo's sons, to come to the United States and now basically is given state's evidence. Like some of the other 29 major people who were extradited by the Sheinbaum government to the United States, now that El Mayo Zambada is clearly in U.S. custody and many people suspect that he is talking, the question is, he is one of the key people at the highest levels of Sinaloa cartel. What is he talking about and who within the current Mexican government and past governments might be implicated in the stories that he tells from a U.S. prison? And so it emphasizes that probably lots of people are nervous about what he could be talking about in Mexico right now. And that goes to our continuing attempt to work with Mexico and at least address some of the issues of narco-trafficking in Mexico and how that affects the United States.
Professor Evan Ellis, New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Forget everything you had planned for this weekend because you are sitting on your couch and winning from the comfort of your own home. I'm here with SpinQuest, where you can play hundreds of slot games, all of the table games you love, and you could even win real cash prizes. New users, $30 coin packs are on sale for $10 at SpinQuest.com.
SpinQuest is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Visit SpinQuest.com for more details.
There's still time to get holiday ready. Right Rug Flooring makes it easy with next day installation and 24-month special financing with approved credit. Carpet, hardwood, luxury vinyl, and tile. We have everything you need to make your home shine for family and friends this season. Schedule a free in-home estimate or find a showroom near you. Visit RightRug.com. RiteRug.com. Be holiday ready with Right Rug Flooring.
Right here, right now.
CODA salutes those who've served. Veterans ride free Tuesday, November 11th. And every other day of the year, our veterans and active duty military personnel get a 50% discount on all fares. It's all part of CODA's ongoing commitment to show appreciation for your selfless service. To ride at no cost on fixed routes, tell your bus operator that you're a veteran or use code VET2025 in the app to use CODA Plus. Veterans ride free on Tuesday, November 11th for Veterans Day. Veterans get a 50% discount every day on CODA. Plan your ride and learn more at CODA.com/trip planner.